Hello and welcome to Carpooling with Adam. Adam is me. I haven't done one of these in a while. Partly because I haven't been feeling too good. And then partly because I was feeling like this was just Adam's consistent complaints. And that's not necessarily what I want it to be every day. But it might still be that a lot of the time. But that's not my intention. But anyways, I figured what the heck, even though I'm feeling crappy, I still like doing this, so I'm going to do it anyway. And hopefully my cough stays at bay. I do have my refill from lunch of my favorite cola beverage. So that's what's fueling me on today. And I won't tell you how many refills I got while I was there, plus the one on the way out the door. But more than I should have. But here's what I wanted to talk about today. Because as I've had different conversations and read articles and all kinds of stuff over the last few days, the topic that's on my mind is pressure. And people pressuring other people in organizations, businesses, companies, families, community organizations, whatever. It exists. You see it everywhere. At least I do. And I find this interesting because everyone hates being pressured, right? And if that's the case, well, most people, maybe some people like it and they thrive and that's cool. But most people I interact with and know don't like having pressure applied to them. So if that's the case, why is it so prevalent in our human world, right? So I think there's a lot of reasons, and I see this manifest in a lot of different ways. You know, we were talking at lunch today about salespeople in all of us. It wasn't just our current job, but in all of our jobs throughout our employment history, could find examples where salespeople were trying to pressure someone else in the organization. Whether it's an executive or their manager or even coworkers who have nothing to do with the sales process and pipeline, they're trying to pressure them into doing something for them that maybe is outside the process, not acceptable, and in some cases, even unethical. So that's one area you see it a lot. You see it a lot in the industry I'm in. There's always a project management component. And often project managers take the approach of just applying pressure to the team to meet milestones or meet dates or other objectives, right? A very common mechanism for doing that is applying pressure. You see that with managers and their direct reports. They apply pressure to those people to meet some kind of objective or goal or whatever, right? What kind of pressure? Well, they set maybe ridiculous expectations. I think a little twist on this. I think it's the same thing, but I think it often gets twisted into something else and people try and make it look like it's not applying pressure, but they'll set really high goals or expectations that everyone knows are out of reach. With the philosophy being that you gotta give people unrealistic goals and expectations in order to get them to stretch themselves, right? That's a very prevalent philosophy out there. I'll just say right now, I happen to disagree strongly with that based on what I know about humans and human behavior. That just doesn't seem to fly with me. And maybe pressure in some cases gets results, right? But I think what nobody ever wants to talk about is at what cost. Well, does the cost matter if it achieves the business objective? Probably. There's usually unseen or unnoticed or unrecognized costs that come out of future objectives and goals and relationships. They have a price. And you can run from that price all you want, but at some point it will catch up to you. And, but why is it? Why is it still a motivational tool used so frequently? Is it because we just don't need better? Is it because it's the easiest go-to one and because it delivers results? There's the perception that it's more reliable. I don't think it is. I think those are misperceptions. But I think it's often because doing things the real way and taking into account humans and their abilities and capacities and our relationships and interactions with one another and trying to work within those bounds is complicated, it's sticky, it's troublesome, it scares people, right? Some people feel that's more risky. So maybe that's it. Maybe it's perceived as it's the least amount of risk. And I think there's a healthy serving of impatience in there as well. Like, I don't have time to mess around with this kind of stuff, and that's more of a hassle, and to really care about people and their motivations and their productivity and effectiveness and their development and growth. I mean, that's a lot, right? And I agree, it is. That's a lot of work and it's a lot of effort. But I also think it has the biggest potential for paying off. And maybe I'll explain, or I should elaborate on that. I would like to. Let's see if the thoughts come to me here. But I think this is what I noticed this within the Agile community in software development, right? It taps into this a lot. And tries to make the human factor matter more. I think most companies fail horribly at it, however, in implementation. But all of that is there. And I have a lot of people who are really, really good or really experienced in the Agile world and have careers that are oriented around that. They're really good and really care a lot about humans, people, and their development and their progress and their improvement and how to make that happen and how to coach them, excuse me, and how to support them in that. But I would say, by and large, most of corporate America just isn't set up for that kind of stuff and isn't friendly to that, and hence the constant rub for those very experienced, very skilled, and very well-meaning folks. And I find myself in that camp a lot. But if I'm in that camp too much, I find my work to be very frustrating and a constant uphill, relentless battle. So other people are awesome at it, and I really admire them. But that's just not me. So what was I going to elaborate on? Bruh. Oh. Why is pressure so... Oh, because it's, I think, easy, prevalent. Oh, shoot. Okay, sorry, back. Now I remember. I had to just pause and jog my memory for a little bit. So what I'm talking about is there's a lot of human factors, right? If we make a workplace a human-friendly place to be and somewhere and have in place a culture, I hate that word because it's so used and abused, but I think you'll get my meaning anyway, where people are encouraged to be creative, encouraged to explore, encouraged to develop and improve, not just in ways that can be remotely tied to a business objective. A lot of performance reviews and stuff are coming to mind, and those horrible processes and companies as examples of that. But if you look at what really motivates people and gets the best out of them because of that, the right type of motivation, It's not applying pressure. It's not putting the squeeze on. It's not trying to be coercive or controlling. That gets results, but it also minimizes the results that you get. Where people are allowed to explore and be creative and really develop and really think about things and really learn and understand situations and problems and do that alone or collectively as a team, in my experience, they always come up with a much better result. Not only that, they're being respected as humans and their human nature is being appreciated and useful in that case and encouraged. And therefore, they're going to give better results and be more engaged and more committed and more enthusiastic about them, right? A really good book that really helped me understand intrinsic human motivation was Drive by Dan Pink. Excellent, excellent book. Highly recommend it. Changed my total understanding and thinking about things. It really dives into what really motivates humans intrinsically. And quite frankly, most companies do a horrible job of tapping into this. Why? Because again, like I said, it's hard, it's sticky, it's personal, maybe it's too touchy-feely for some people, right? It's taking on more responsibility and things that than they want to. People want to just be able to talk about and address things at a high level and not have to get into maybe the details of things, not have to invest too much in them. It's investing as little as possible and trying to get the most you can out of it, right? Which I get. We all do that. It's a human thing. I do that with some things. But I think trying to build and develop the best in people is very rewarding. I like to do that, and I like to be engaged in those kind of things. It's a lot what I like to read about and listen to talks and articles and speeches and stuff on. So for me personally, it's just something that kind of rings true, but there seems to be so little places for that application in the current business world and climate and culture. For example, let me talk a previous hobby of mine that maybe, I don't know, some people might find a little weird, but there's the sport of pigeon racing. Now, I always did this as just a hobby. I never got into it officially. There's now some ridiculous races and clubs that you win millions of dollars in, you know, extremely competitive. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about having a place for the birds in the backyard where you raise them and you feed them and care for them. But you also have to train them, right? They have the natural instinct to return to their home. And if you train them and work with them correctly and their instincts are well and strong, you get birds that will return home from hundreds or thousands of miles away. You know, obviously the thousands and, excuse me, you know, upper hundreds, those are kind of really, you know, there's far fewer birds that do that, of course. But Some still do, and it's quite common for a lot of races to have that birds are taken just a couple hundred miles away from home, that they have high return rates and success rates. Not only that, the birds are trained well enough that they fly home in a fast enough time that they win the race, right? Now, there's a whole lot of details about pigeon racing that I won't go into, but what I liked about it was raising the birds, making sure they're healthy, and then training them, and then take them on a test flight. See how they do. Maybe I take them, you know, you start out real short distances, a block or two away from home. And then they get their bearings, they fly around, get some exercise, then come back in to have something to eat and rest. And then what you do is you up the distance and change directions, right? So let's say last time I took them a mile north, I'll try going a mile south or east or west, right? And whatever it is, they still are trying to figure out exactly where, why they have this ability, why this breed of birds does this, but you just keep increasing the distance and the direction and changing the direction, and eventually they get home faster and faster, right? If you provide a good home for them that they're happy and comfortable in, that they want to come back to, they can be trained and use their instincts to come back from hundreds of miles away. To me, that's just nuts. There's nothing that, they don't know every mile, every nautical mile between where they're released and their home often. Of course, unless you've trained them on the exact path that they release them on race day from, but they try not to do that. They try and have it be, you know, not a common training path anyway. Unless, I don't know, unless your club does that, but whatever, sorry. I keep getting into the details so easily, which is kind of funny, but. So that's the part I liked. Train, see how they do. Oh, okay, and then adjust, right? Oh, that worked, that didn't. Or maybe we need to try that one again because it took them a little longer. Or was it the weather? Or, you know, what factors? Taking all that into account and then trying it again. Right, and developing and training, that's the process I loved. That's also why I like software and being in that business, for the same kind of thing. Build something, try it out. Did it work? Okay, cool. Oh, it didn't. All right, let's adjust. Let's fix. What's the problem? Excuse me. Always improving and getting to a better end result. Right. So that's just naturally within me, and I think to some extent. Not everyone makes that align with their career, but I think as humans, we all have at least some of that in us, just human nature. Whether you believe in that's how humans evolved or were created by a divine creator, you know, either way, I think there's some of that in all humans to some degree, more some, less others, you know what I mean? So I think we get better results when we tap into that and worry a lot less about formalized processes. Humans, we always want things to be a machine, right? We want a program or something that you shove everybody in the front end and out the other end you get the desired result, right? Just some kind of mechanized machine or process that we can just put everyone through and they come out at the end with everything you want. But does that sound like humans at all? That we're just that malleable that we can just jump in a machine and pop out the other end something different? No, that's not how, humans are not that simple. There is no perfectly fine-tuned machine, right? Even institutions like militaries and other organizations, that it's a highly disciplined process and consistently the same over and over and over, not every human comes out the exact same in the end, right? There's always variance, there's always deviation, there's always nuance. That is just the human factor of things. So let's not pretend that doesn't exist and come up with something that we think and apply a bunch of pressure and hope we get the results. Why not try things that work with that? Work with our human nature, human capabilities and abilities. I think, and I've seen, that you get much better results. If you go to a software development team and you describe really well to them what the problem is and let them figure out the solution, you're going to get a much better solution. If you go to them and tell them the problem and the solution and how they're going to do it and then pressure them into doing that, it's going to be painful. And you're not going to get the best result you can. And in my opinion, that applies to whatever results you're getting. If you're trying to get cost savings, if you're trying to get efficiency, if you're trying to get increased profitability, whatever the end goal is, because you're dealing with humans, you're going to get a much better result the more you allow them to be humans and encourage the good things in their nature and their skills and abilities and let them develop them and hone them and improve them, you're going to get a much better result. And they might even find out, here's the twist I always love, when they find out, the team finds out that that's not the real problem. The problem is this, and here's an even better solution for it. That's what's really cool when you see that happen. That kind of thing you cannot prescribe. That kind of thing you cannot pressure out of people. It's got to happen in a different way. But I get that's harder. You have to have those skills and abilities as a manager and as someone who's providing direction and leadership. And you have to know how to do that for other people. That's hard. And that's not mechanized and it's not institutionalized enough that we can just rely on it as a cookie cutter kind of thing. So it's harder to do. And what's also tricky about that is your performance, right, and things like that aren't usually measured on those kind of things, because how on earth would you measure them? And how on earth would you be able to... Sorry. Coughing's even worse because I don't feel good. You can't come up with a nice, controlled, HR legal safe way to do that, right? It's a lot harder. We like to have tangible, visible, easy metrics to measure everything against. And when you start talking about doing things, taking approaches that I'm talking about, those kind of things don't just fall in place. So maybe you have to reevaluate a lot of things, what success means and how you know if things are progressing or improving. All that's harder to figure out. I don't think it can't be done. Maybe it can't. I don't know. What do you think? Excuse me. Sorry. But maybe I need to end it there today. I think I will, because I'm just going to go downhill from here and cough worse and worse. But just some interesting things to think about. And hopefully you think so. And I'll talk to you on the next episode. Thanks for joining me in the carpool today.